Welcome to True Crime from A to Z. My name is Sydney.
And I'm Shakira. It's been 8 years and 7 months and 10 days since Maddie has been last seen. It's just got to be torture for a family to be missing their loved one for that long. Oh, I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine. Especially since, as you'll find out today, there's so many unknowns.
Yeah, that's like, what it sounds like, is that there's so much.
It's frustrating how many unknowns there are. It makes it really difficult for families to be able to cope because there's just so many unknowns.
There is.
Once again, this case suggestion from Danielle. If you would like to have us cover a case or someone's story, because we cover stories, because every person, they're called cases, but
they're a person. They're a person.
Yeah. And so I like to call them the story that we tell.
Not a case, because that makes them feel generic.
It's that person's story.
Makes it feel too generic.
Yeah. If you can think of someone's story that you'd like us to tell, please go to our website or the bio in any of our social medias. Mm-hmm. It's also there. You can find a link to be able to give us a case suggestion, and we would love to be able to work with you or be able to, if you don't want us to work with you, then that's perfectly fine. And we can just tell that person's story that you would like to hear. We want to cover people's stories that you want to hear.
We appreciate all the help to finding these stories, because sometimes things aren't covered in the media as much as they should, and everyone's story deserves to be told. And people either... their story needs to be told, or they deserve to have a chance to be brought home.
Yes, 100%. 100%. So please let us know, and we would love to be able to cover the story that you would like to hear from us. Mm-hmm. So we are going to quickly hear a quick word from our podcast friends.
Woohoo!
Hello, my name is Les, and my podcast, Worse Than Fiction, brings you true tales of unimaginable horror. It's more than just true crime, though. I'm also going to do an occasional episode on other real horrors, such as natural and man-made disasters. The stories are fully scripted and told in gut-wrenching detail, so if you're sensitive to graphic descriptions, it may not be for you. You can find it on any podcast app. Just search Worse Than Fiction Podcast or go to worsethanfictionpodcast.com.
This content may be of a violent and disturbing nature. It may not be appropriate for all audiences. If you are uncomfortable at any time, please feel free to tune out and move on to a different episode. Mm-hmm. This is a missing persons case. Maddie's story doesn't have any violent details, but it is heart-wrenching because
it is a
missing persons case.
Very disturbing since nobody knows. It's kind of disturbing because nobody knows what happened, and that's just... the danger of the unknown, it can actually be very disturbing in and of itself.
Oh, 100%. I would definitely say that. So just be aware of that. But I feel, especially missing persons stories, I feel they're very important to tell. Mm-hmm. Because there is a possibility that they could still be out there and that we could bring them home. That's why we are telling Maddie's story. Because we don't know what happened.
There are many who are brought home late.
Yeah, we're hoping that she's out there. Mm-hmm. Because just like I said last time, Maddie's mom, she said the most important thing about her story is that she's still missing. She's still out there. She's still missing. We don't know exactly what happened to her. And so we need to get the word out about Maddie.
And the most important thing for a family is closure. And right now, the family has nothing. They don't have any closure to know what happened to Maddie. And where she is, and you know, if she's safe or if she's not safe. And that's heartbreaking for a family because they love her so much and her friends love her so much. And it's just something that if we can get her story out there and any information can be brought forward, it would mean the world to those who love her.
Oh, 100%, definitely. Here are some details about Maddie.
Okay.
When she disappeared, she was 20. Mm-hmm. Now, today, she would be around 28 years old.
Okay.
She is white, medium complexion. Mm-hmm. Her hair is ginger or auburn, and she has hazel eyes. She is 5'4 and weighs about 160, 170.
Okay.
And she has this really cool bird silhouette tattoo on the inside of her left wrist.
That's
so that is a great distinguishing marker on her.
A lot of the time, tattoos are like one of the most important features to get out there for somebody to be found, is like, you know, those distinguishing marks, like a tattoo or something.
Mm-hmm. I sent you a picture of the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any like details you'd like to add about this tattoo?
In case people don't understand the silhouette, it is just an outline, because some people might not think a silhouette is just like the outline. So the inside of the bird is still her skin. It's not like black. It's not ink. And so that's an important feature to know about it, is that it is just the outline of a bird.
Yes. And her ears are pierced and her nostril is pierced.
Which is also very distinguishing.
Yes, exactly. Those are some very distinguishing characteristics about her. And she is really beautiful. She's a beautiful woman.
She is. Absolutely.
I want to talk a little bit more about Maddie.
Okay.
We kind of talked about her photography last time. Mm-hmm. She has some really beautiful pictures. I think she definitely has an eye for photography.
It looks like it.
Especially like her nature pictures. They're super cool. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed looking through her pictures. And one picture that we mentioned that I want to bring up again today is a picture. It's kind of an eerie picture. I sent it to you last time.
Yes, Shakira. I know exactly which picture you're talking about.
Yes. It looks like she's starting to disappear in this picture. I feel like this was very unfortunate foreshadowing.
Yeah, and she was working on contrasts, and that's how it happened to work. And it's just so eerie because of the fact that she went missing, that she had made that picture, and that it's her in the picture. She wasn't messing around with like a model. She's doing it with herself, and that sent chills down my spine.
Yeah, she was experimenting with like long exposure, where she stood in the picture in the dark, let the camera flash once, stepped out of the frame, and then it took the picture. But because of the long exposure, it already had some of her image ticking. And so it looks like she's disappearing, which is, I feel, is so eerie.
It is.
It's a really cool picture, though. I put it in the collage for last time, but I'm gonna make its own post this week and just put a picture of that so you can take a look at it. Because it's
eerie.
It's a really cool way of manipulating a picture.
It really is.
If you go to the Facebook group for Maddie, the Finding Maddie Facebook group, they like to share this video that her and her friend made for a school project. They love to make funny videos. This one I don't think was entirely meant to be super funny, super comical, because they were just shooting. They were just like, one person would throw pigeon in the air and the other person would shoot it. And it turned out to be a riot.
Sounds like me and you as kids. Oh my gosh.
Yes. And I'm trying to remember, because I don't have it pulled up right now, but the title for the post, it says something like, you get Maddie making a video and all funniness just breaks loose. And it's really funny.
She just made people laugh. It's what it sounds like. She just made people laugh just by nature.
Oh yeah. She was goofy. She was fun to be with. She was entertaining. And she loved to do fun, silly things with her friends. And I thought that, I just love that.
That's great.
Makes me wish even more that I could be able to get to know her.
For real.
Like, in person.
Yeah.
So, last time we talked about the events leading up to the investigation. We kind of talked about, like, a little bit about what happened in the investigation, like the search.
When she was last seen.
Yeah. Talk about when she was last seen. The search for Maddie. And now today, if you have not listened to that episode, you need to go back and listen to it, because we're not going to cover all that.
Mm-mm.
And today won't make a lot of sense.
Mm-mm.
With the investigation, the head of RCMP Northern Major Crimes Unit that is in charge of serious crimes was put in charge of Maddie's case. So right away, they were hounding it with their best resources. They were trying to find Maddie.
One thing I would say is that what we mentioned in the last one that at least would kind of refresh is this is so out of character for her to not be in contact.
Mm-hmm. She is a very responsible young woman. She is always in contact with her friends and family, and she lets them know what's going on, and she hadn't. And so they put the Northern Major Crimes Unit on her case to be able to help find it. And that's when her case really started taking off. With that crime unit put in charge of finding her, they were able to have a lot more resources. And that's when all of like the helicopters started coming out and all of the equipment was brought in to be able to really do a thorough search for Maddie.
Good. That's good.
And the RCMP worked hard to be able to find all the partygoers at the party that Maddie went to. And they found most of them. There was like 46. Yeah, there was like 46 partygoers is like an exact number that I saw on a regular basis.
Oh,
it was about 46. But a general number is 50. But they found most of them. Found most all of them and interviewed them. They gave them polygraphs. I think they gave all of the partygoers polygraphs. The crazy thing about this, because they polygraphed all of them, they talked to like pretty much everyone that was at the party, but no one would talk about what happened at the party. No one.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. Like the most I know about what happened at the party is from this documentary by Stephen Scholar. I mentioned it last time, but her was super vague.
Weird.
Because what she mentioned is about like them going there, setting up, getting wood, that she got in a fight, landed in the fire, and went home. That's about all
so
we know
about. So we're talking
about
Jordy.
What happened at the party.
So Jordy's the only one who talks,
Jordy.
Really?
Yeah, she's the only one that talked, and it's from this documentary.
Okay.
And
weird.
I couldn't find much detail about what happened at the party because no one would talk, which makes me wonder what happened.
I'm not trying to blame anyone because that's not what we do, but that's really suspicious. It's always scarier when people don't talk. You're like, is there something like, because even if it was like an accident that they're trying to cover up or something, it's like, dude, just say something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Anything is better than nothing.
Exactly.
I feel like. So that was really weird. This documentary, because I feel like she was kind of telling the truth, but I was scrolling through the comments on the video and everyone was like, oh my gosh, she's hiding something. She's totally lying. She's totally, talking about Jordy.
Okay.
She's hiding something. She's totally lying. I could tell from like minute two, like the second one that I saw that she came on the screen because they showed her being interviewed pretty quickly in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
I'll have to watch it because I've been not watching it because I wasn't supposed to know much. But I'll have to watch it and let you know what I think about that.
She went missing in 2011, and this documentary was, I don't know how long after she went missing that they filmed this, but the video was posted on YouTube in 2014. I wouldn't be surprised if it was posted shortly after it was recorded. Because I get the feeling that it was like a couple years after she went missing when they recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So to give her a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, it had been a few years. So I wonder if maybe it was...
And maybe some details that kind of slipped her mind.
Yeah, it was starting to get a little bit harder to remember. Because I know sometimes I have a hard time remembering what happened last week. Granted, this was a traumatic experience, so it's often easier to remember.
Traumatic experiences have one of two things that you either remember really, really vividly or your mind blocks it out. So it could have been either way because there are certain times that something traumatic happens to someone and they can't really testify about it because they blocked it out because they are just so horrified about whatever it is. Even if it is like you don't know what happened to your friend, but they went missing, being one of the last people to see them would traumatize me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there was only like five people. There's just a few people left at the party when Jordy went home. So she was one of the last people to see her. But
and she was probably one of the closest.
Oh, she was definitely the closest because she didn't know it.
Exactly.
There was people that she knew at the party, but she didn't know them super well.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Watching this video, the reason why I brought up how long it had been is because when she was describing what happened, She like took really long breaks in between almost every sentence, which was kind of weird. I thought that was a little weird.
That is a little weird.
Yeah, because she would like, we went to the party and we went to set up our tents.
Yeah, that is like, it's almost like she has to think about it really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I brought up the time period between when it happened and when it was the video was published on YouTube, is because I wonder if that's why. But it's still, that seems like some of these details that you would remember, you would kind of remember better. So that just seemed a little weird, which makes me a little nervous about what happened at the party.
Me too.
Yeah. And then RCMP worked really hard, as far as I can tell, to be able to find all of the partygoers from the later party, like the next day, the one that was 150 people.
The one that was a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah. That was like three times the size. That was super crazy. Man, that would be a crazy party. And they interviewed them and they polygraphed them. Mm-hmm. And they found a lot of them, too, as far as I can tell. Found most of them.
Okay.
They worked really hard, because that would be really difficult to be able to find everyone, I feel like, because you got to talk to people to find out who all was there, and people are getting drunk and not paying attention to who all's there and all that good stuff. But they found most everybody that was at the second party.
It's hard to remember anything when you're drunk. Like, you don't remember things that you remembered at the time, and things are very blurry. So I can understand them having a hard time getting information out of people who had been drinking the night before, because that's what alcohol does.
But it feels like it was a little bit more than just like an alcohol stupor.
I understand. But yeah.
The people at the second party, they said that they didn't see her. And that's when they leveled the tent, because they wanted to make sure that was okay.
She wasn't there.
Yeah, she wasn't in her tent. She wasn't in her truck. I don't think that one was quite nearly as suspicious, but I don't think we got a lot of information out of them either.
Mm-hmm. If she wasn't there, then they wouldn't have even known.
Yeah, but we still didn't get a ton of information out of them.
Yeah.
But the family, they quickly put out a reward for information. They started at like $15,000. And then over time, it started to evolve.
Increase,
and how much they slowly increased it. It went from $15,000 to $25,000 to $50,000. And it stayed at $50,000 for a little bit, but now it's up to $100,000.
It's because it's getting longer and they're more desperate to try to figure out what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell that their family is still trying so hard to be able to find sweet Maddie, because Maddie's mom, her profile picture is her missing poster, and it has the $100,000. So it's an up-to-date poster, and their poster kind of has evolved over time and what they've put in there and how many pictures they put on and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And her dad has a picture of them, both her parents, in front of two billboards that were missing posters. So they are still actively looking for Maddie, and I love that.
I don't blame them at all. Like, I would.
I know. Seriously. I get the feeling that this is the case. I'm definitely not saying that this isn't, but it sounds like this is a case that I feel like I would lose sleep. I would lose so much sleep as long as I didn't know what happened.
I feel like I would be the same. I lose sleep over a lot of things, and this is so much more detrimental than any of the stuff I do lose sleep over, that I definitely would lose sleep over this.
Oh, yeah. Her sweet mom is trying so hard. They have these awesome catchphrases. I mentioned them last time, but they have these awesome catchphrases. The hope is your way home. So message to Maddie.
I love that.
And hope stands for hear our prayers, everyone.
Again, I love that.
Yeah, because hear our prayers, everyone. That is, everyone is the way that we can find Maddie. And so hope is Maddie's way home. And they put that on shirts and everything, and it's super awesome. I love it.
That's great.
Like I said, they're working really hard to keep Maddie's name in the public view, because every year they have this thing called a poker ride.
Okay.
To remind everyone that Maddie is still missing. And it's
since unfortunately
cool.
after so many years, people will start to forget. And that's the sad part. So yeah. good on them for keeping it. So like in, you know, saying, hey, we're still looking for her.
Yeah. I mean, good on them. they have a blog about her with information and an overview of what happened, that what has mm-hmm. happened in the investigation, updates, like they've put all of the different poker rides on there. Mm-hmm. And they have an active Facebook group. They both have their profile pictures about finding Maddie. And mm-hmm. they are actively trying to keep people remembering about Maddie. And so this poker ride is super cool. It is completely in Maddie's honor. And it's so Maddie. It's awesome. They host it at Hogsback Lake, since that is the last place that Maddie was seen. So they host it there in honor of her. Mm-hmm. What a poker ride is, there are three ways that you can be able to do this ride. You can walk it.
Okay.
You can go on an ATV mm-hmm. or horseback ride.
Mm-hmm.
Which are
oh,
all
that's
things
so cool,
that...
because those are things she loved to do.
Yeah, exactly. She was a huge ATV rider, and she was all... like, there are so many pictures of her on horseback. She loved yeah. horseback riding.
And they said she liked hiking, so that's technically walking and stuff, yeah. like, you know. So she loved yeah. the outdoor stuff.
Yeah, exactly. These are these three different rides. They all start at different times.
Cool.
So, which I think is really smart to make sure that the people that are walking don't get run over by ATVs or horseback.
And that's very smart.
And that the horses don't get scared by the ATVs.
By the
so
ATVs,
they're really smart
yep.
about that.
That's
and
good.
So the first year that they did it, it was like a huge deal because they had to construct the track and everything. Like they had to build bridges and
mm-hmm.
clear a pathway and everything, because this is a pretty dense forest. And so they had to figure out where they wanted to go and how they had to make the trail. So it was a bit like a huge deal the first year. And then after that, they just reused yep. the track. So it's still a big mm-hmm. deal, but it wasn't nearly as much work. Which is awesome. And they have...
Yeah, they didn't have to remake it over and mm-hmm. over and over again.
Oh, yeah. And so they have shirts for it, and they have a huge prize. Like, there's a reward for the first, second, and third place winners. Like, it's hundreds of dollars.
That's awesome.
So it's, like, a big deal. And it's super awesome. Like, the first place winner gets $500. The second place winner gets either $300 or $200. And then the first place gets 200 or 100. So it's like, it's a big deal. This is a big mm-hmm. deal of a race. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's like become like a community tradition. And they have it every year in honor of Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's super cool.
That is.
And her parents put it on every year themselves. They're the head of these campaigns to be able to keep Maddie's name in the paper. And in
that's
the public
great.
Spiel.
That's great.
So since there isn't much information out about, like, there's not a lot of evidence about what happened to Maddie, there are mm-hmm. lots of theories. I'm not going to go into a lot okay. of detail about these theories because...
They're not fact.
Yeah, they're not fact. Hearing all these theories is really hard for Maddie's family. And so I don't want to go into a lot of detail because
yeah, exactly.
we're doing this in honor of Maddie's family. And in honor of Maddie. And so we're not going to go into a lot of detail. And plus, these are huge rabbit holes. Like, there's
yeah,
huge
you were
rabbit holes.
About that.
Oh my goodness. I've gotten lost in these theories. And plus, one of them is a really big theory.
Okay.
The first one is the Highway of Tears. The Highway of Tears is something that a lot of true crime buffs know about. And mm-hmm. I'm debating on whether or not we'll cover this one, since it is such a big one. A lot of people have already covered it.
Have already done that, yeah.
So if you would like us to cover it at some point, please let us know.
Let us know, because we will.
If we have enough interest, we'll look into it more.
Mm-hmm.
But here is like a brief like overview of the Highway of Tears. The Highway of Tears is Highway 16. It's a really, really, really long highway. It goes all the way up and down Alberta. So it's super mm-hmm. long. What it is a bunch of women and girls have been murdered or kidnapped or taken that were living high risk lifestyles. Like they were hitchhiking, they were doing all kinds of things that are high risk. And a lot of them are
doesn't quite sound like her.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them are Aboriginal. I'm not saying that if you're Aboriginal, you live a high risk lifestyle. These individuals did. But they just happen to also be, majority of them are Aboriginal.
Okay.
Or First Nations. Mm-hmm. And the police, they started a task force to be able to try and find them. It's called EPANA.
Okay.
And Hawksback Lake is about 10 miles. Sorry, I did not convert this into kilometers. I'm really sorry. But it's a significant distance. Like Vanderhoof, the city that she's from, is a lot closer. It's one of the cities that's kind of along the way. It's a little bit off of the highway, but it's a lot closer. But the lake itself is quite a distance away. Because most of the women that went missing, they were generally on or really close to the Highway 16.
It's 16.093 kilometers.
Okay, thank you. It's quite a distance away. I've heard that it was 100 kilometers, but it doesn't seem, when you look at the map, that it's quite correct. But
yeah.
Regardless...
it's big.
Bigger distance away from the highway than a lot of the other victims have been. And there is a big, long list of women and girls that have gone missing or have been murdered from the Highway of Tears. And the last name that was officially added to this list, the last person that went missing was in 2006. So they haven't officially added her, but the thing about this, like you mentioned, she didn't live a high-risk lifestyle. She wasn't doing something that was high-risk when she went missing.
Yeah.
So in that way, it doesn't really fit with the Highway of Tears.
Yeah. It's not completely, no. The only thing that she did high-risk that day is staying camping without a friend. That's like the only high-risk thing she did. She didn't she didn't have one of those lifestyles that would be like irresponsible or not letting people know where she was. Mm-hmm. And for me, that just doesn't quite scream Highway of Tears.
Yeah. So many people, when a woman or a girl goes missing around the Highway 16, they always just kind of like, they jump on putting it in the Highway of Tears. If anyone goes missing, I bet it's part of the Highway of Tears. Like there's even a sign along Highway 16 that says women don't hitchhike on the Highway of Tears. Because it's a warning to women that it's dangerous.
No, I understand. I'm just saying that's so scary that everything in that area is just attributed to that.
Yeah, it is so scary. And I was reading a blog post. We're going to have the link on our blog.
Okay.
He's more of a writer, the author of this article that I'm talking about. And so it's really well written. He actually has a personal connection with Highway of Tears because he was riding down the road and then he saw a woman that was trying to hitchhike. And he was like, oh, shoot, you need to not be out here. And by the time he had realized that it was a woman, he was a distance past. The first chance he could, he turned around, drove back up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he got back to where she was, he saw her getting into a truck. She was getting into a truck.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if she's one of the Highway of Tear victims, but that's not connected to Maddie at all. But I just thought that was interesting and really freaky.
Just because a lot of bad things happen in a place doesn't mean that the moment you see something like that it immediately screams like, oh, she's been murdered or she's been kidnapped. But that's still something that you think about when you're in an area like that. It's like, oh,
especially
no.
Especially since there's so many bad things. It was the Highway of Tears.
Yeah, like where so much bad has happened.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. A closer area to Maddie, to her home, a lot of girls have gone missing. By just doing normal, non-high-risk lifestyle things like walking or riding your bike or hanging out with friends. They went missing. Like a 12-year-old girl, her name is Monica Jack. She was riding her bike near Nicola Lake in 1978.
Okay.
She was snatched off.
That's
snatched
so
away
scary.
While she was riding her bike. And her body was found 17 years later on a logging road.
Oh, my God. That's so sad.
Then there was three girls that were from Prince George, which Prince George is a city that is kind of a distance away, but it's relatively close. But it's one that if you're going to go there, you're making a kind of a trip about it. Three girls went missing from there. Two of them were killed and one they have not found. But they think there is enough evidence to suggest that she was killed. And then there's Maddie, who went missing, along with all of these other girls that we just talked about.
In the theory, do they think it's linked?
It's a theory.
Like in the theory, do they think
they might be linked? Because there's all these girls that went missing from this small community. And so, of course,
yeah,
they...
I could understand why, in a theory, they could connect that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the talk of the town, is that they're linked to each other. Which, all of this just adds to the mystery of what happened to Maddie.
Yeah.
And another theory is that an accident happened at the party. And everyone mm-hmm. at the party was drunk and freaked out or whatever. And mm-hmm. put her somewhere. Because they were terrified that they were going to get in trouble if they went to the cops. Which, if something like that happens, never do this. Never hide the body. Mm-hmm. Please go tell the police. Mm-mm. Please.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And first off, be careful while you're partying so that that doesn't happen.
Oh, for sure.
But that's another one of the theories, is that something bad happened to Maddie at a party and the partygoers freaked out and put her somewhere. But the weird thing about that is they never found her. They never found evidence of her. They never found any evidence of a struggle.
And you would think if it was like drunk people, it would be a little bit harder for them to keep something hidden for that long.
Yeah, because no one said anything. And it's been 8 years. It's been 8.5 years since Maddie went missing. And then the last theory is that she was in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is what her mom thinks. This is Maddie's mom's theory. That she was at the wrong place at the wrong time. That maybe, I'm guessing, like, after everyone was gone, like, someone just happened to find her mm-hmm. and took her away. So those are the theories about mm-hmm. what happened to Maddie. Some of them are a little bit more believable. Some of them are
a little out there.
Are a little bit of a stretch, because everyone wants to get conclusions and wants to...
Which I understand completely. Not having conclusions is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on those who loved her and cared about her and miss her every single day.
The hard thing is as far as I can tell, a lot of these women that I mentioned, these missing people and murders, haven't been solved. Because I didn't find anything that mentioned that they had found who did these. And so there's so many women that bad things have happened to in this area.
That don't this have beautiful conclusions.
Area. It's such a gorgeous area. And the people are so nice and so friendly. And like, it is such a good community. But there's all these women
That's
that have gone
so
missing.
Sad.
Which is so hard for everyone involved, because you want mm-hmm. to feel safe and you want to be able, want to love your neighbors and everything. And people started
to... And you want to feel like you can do things safely.
Yeah. And people started to like take a second glance at their neighbors and things like that because of this, which is so hard to be able to live in an environment like that, which is so sad that we don't have any answers about what happened to Maddie. We don't know where she is. We don't have answers. Mm-mm. And once again, Maddie, when she disappeared, she was 20 years old. She would be 28 today. She's Caucasian, medium complexion, has ginger auburn hair, has hazel eyes. She's 5'4", weighs about 160 pounds. So a bird tattoo on her inside of her left wrist. So the outline of a bird. It's like your classic bird. I will post a picture of her tattoo. I forgot last time. I should have done it last time. But this week for sure, I'm posting a picture.
It's a two-parter, so at least we got that.
Yes. Yes. And then her ears are pierced and her nose is pierced. And if you think of anything or you've come across anything, please call. Call the Vanderhoof RCMP at 250-567-2222. That's 4 2s. Or if you want to remain anonymous, that is amazing still. Please call in mm-hmm. to Crime Stoppers, which is 1-800-222-TIPS. Please call. If you can find anything
can help.
Yes. Please call if you can think of anything. Even the smallest thing can lead to big discoveries when it comes to a case. Mm-hmm. So please call if you can think of anything. So what are your thoughts on Maddie's story?
Well, I've been thinking about it a lot because, you know, being a two-parter, I've had a lot of time to think about it. Mm-hmm. First of all, before I say anything, my heart is just so, I pour my heart out so much to her family. I'm devastated for them. That's so difficult. That is such a hard thing. She's so young and so beautiful and full of life, and that's just devastating. I was thinking it would be like, as theories go, and I'm not saying I know anything about it, and so this is not to say I know what happened. This is just the theories that I more strongly believe, is either that there was an accident at the party. I have actually heard of people signing silence pacts, or like, mm-hmm. you know, doing silence pacts with each other when something bad happens and they're terrified of getting in trouble. They basically make a pact to never talk about it ever again, to never say anything. And so with everybody being so hush hush about everything, and I thought about that even when you were talking about it in the last one before going into the theories that something could have happened at the party that nobody wanted anyone to know about.
Yeah.
Even if it was an accident, they might have thought, because who knows if any of them were underage drinking? Who knows any of that? And so they might have been mm-hmm. like, oh no, if we say anything, we could get arrested, even if it is an accident, because maybe we weren't supposed to be doing this, or maybe we weren't supposed to be doing that. And that's not saying that Maddie was even a part of any of that. It's just a bad thing could have happened, wrong thing could have happened, and they were too terrified to do anything about it.
Yeah.
I also have had a lot of thought about, with her mom's theory, that, you know, she was out there. There are really sick people in the world who take advantage of any opportunity that they can. I could possibly see her just being in the wrong place at the wrong time and having something really horrible happen, whether it is a kidnapping or something that I really hope didn't happen to her. But I could see her being in the wrong place at the wrong time and being alone. Not saying she couldn't defend herself, but maybe this person just was able to overpower her, or worse of all, there could have been multiple.
Yeah.
And those were the two that I was thinking about a lot, where I personally don't think it was a serial killer. I don't know why. That just doesn't scream that to me. I'm not saying it's not possible. It just seems a little more far-fetched to me than just her being in the wrong place at the wrong time or something happening at the party. There was, from what I've heard, alcohol there. There was a fire. I mean, her friend got burned in a fire, so who knows what kind of accidents could happen up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's just dangerous, and things happen when people are camping, but a lot of people have the, you know, have the sense to call for help. But some people, maybe they were doing something like her, like maybe some people, like I said, were underage drinking and they were too terrified to call anyone about it. And so that's why there's been such a silence on all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope someone eventually realizes, if this happened, that her family needs the closure. They deserve the closure. They don't deserve to be sitting there not knowing and living every day not knowing what happened to their daughter or their sister or their, you know, their family member. They deserve answers.
Oh, completely. They definitely deserve answers. That's the hardest part.
And that's what makes me so sad about any type of pact that people make about, like, the silency pacts. Is this like, do you not understand who you're affecting by doing that? Yeah, mm-hmm. you're saving your own skin for the moment, but look at what you're doing to her poor family, if that is the case of what happened. Is look at all the pain they're going through. It's been so long of them not knowing.
I know. 8 years is such a long time.
And especially for like a mom and dad, your parents' love is so unconditional for the most part. The good parents out there love their children so much. And to not know is just devastating.
Mm-hmm. It's so awful.
I've heard a lot of people say that it's almost easier to find out that something happened to their child than to never be able to find them.
Yeah.
To never know.
I can imagine that would be harder for sure.
Mm-hmm. But I just say that, like, you know, my thoughts, my condolences, my prayers, everything is just out to her family that they will be able to find some sort of peace through all this, because this is so tragic. So sad.
Oh, yeah. It just breaks my heart so much to think about how long it's been. 8 years is such a horribly long time.
Especially when you put it into days. When you put it into days and you think of every single day that they've had to wake up and not know. That's horrible. Horrible.
Mm-hmm. That would just be, it would be so hard to not knowing where Maddie is being all consuming.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so hard to have that not be all consuming. I mean,
and she was so young.
She's 20. Mm-hmm. She was 20 when she went missing. Just a little bit I've known about her over these last two mm-hmm. weeks is already hard, because she seems like such a wonderful person, and just not knowing what happened to her for me as an outsider is hard, but that's their daughter.
For her family,
that would be infinitely worse. Like, their daughter or sister, not knowing would be so hard. And with the documentary I mentioned, you get a taste of that. It's heartbreaking.
And it's so sad to think, like, you know, 8 years, you can do so much in 8 years. And to think that her parents have to go and her family had to go through, what would she be doing right now if she was with us? That's horrid.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks my heart. But yeah, I don't believe that it would be a serial killer thing. I think that it was one of the two. It was either something that happened at the party or she was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. It's sad to think that maybe that is the possibility that it is.
Yeah, so sad.
So I have a 5-star review.
Ooh.
And I have been told to make sure that this is a gooder, that I read it. It's mentioned at the end. So it's a 5-star review from 13 Voorhees. So they said, just excellent. And it says, the hosts, Sydney and Shakira, bring us an amazing podcast focusing on true crime and delve into the cases coming out of Canada. My newest obsession is listening to true crime, and trying to pick a new one to listen to is like trying to decide from 40 different flavors of ice cream at the counter, which from experience is very difficult.
It is.
But, and then Wuhu says, until now, I am so glad I came across this podcast. The hosts are well informed and deliver the information in an extremely respectful approach. Not only about the case itself, but especially all of the victims involved. I have a long, boring ride to and from work, but now thanks to this podcast, I have something to keep me entertained. Thank you, ladies, so much. It's a gooder. Winky face.
I love it. I love it. Oh, thank you. That is so sweet. That's
awesome. So
I'm glad we can entertain you on your ride to work.
Yes, and thank you for picking us out of the 40 different flavors of ice cream that you have to pick from. Although there's many more than 40 different flavors of podcasts. So
I'm so I'm so honored to be your choice of ice cream.
Yes. And then I actually have, so I posted on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook to see if anyone wanted to share something with us today. And I got a message from Morgers11, and this person said, I am so pumped that it's here, and I love, 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 love it, with about 6 exclamation points.
Aww.
So thank you so much. Morgers11
is super pumped. That makes me so happy.
Yes.
We're glad.
Yes. Some of the sources that we used are their website, madisonscott.ca. So go check that out. It has a lot of good information. Go check out their Facebook, Finding Madison Scott. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a link to that also on our blog.
Oh, and definitely make sure to check out the documentary, because I definitely will be.
Yes. The documentary is by Stephen Scowler. So definitely check it out. We will have the link to that documentary on our blog. It is about an hour long, but it's really awesome. And it shows you some great pictures, and you get to hear from her friends and some teachers and her parents and her siblings. So it's super great. Go check it out for sure.
How wonderful.
And I got a lot of information from outsideonline.com, The Vanishing. This is the article I mentioned that has a lot of information about the different theories and everything. It's really well written.
Okay.
So go check that out. And all of our other resources for these two episodes will be on the blog for you to check out.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast was created and hosted by us, Sydney and Shakira. This episode was researched by me, being Sydney. I want to clarify.
I don't think we sound exactly alike, but okay.
I don't expect everyone to memorize our voices, what name belongs to which voice, so thought I'd clarify.
Well, why not?
Get on that,
I'm
guys.
Kidding.
Memorize our voices.
Come on, man.
And then it was edited and produced by Ernest. The theme song is by Heart Song Studios. And everybody, remember, give hugs.
Not slugs.
Okay. Bye.